Our scripture today is based on a reading from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12, and it's on page 85 in the Pew Bible. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. May God be with us this day as we listen to and learn from God's word. I'm very glad to be here at First Christian Church in Rio Doso with you all today. I thank you for your warm welcome and your hospitality. You're not going to believe this, but long ago, I dreamed about you. Yes, I did. I had a dream about a special place in New Mexico. I really did. In the dream, it was dawn, and I was driving up to the gates of a racetrack, much like Rio Doso Dallas, not too far from here. Somehow, I knew it was in New Mexico. There were mountains, and the sun was rising all golden and glowing, and I thought, all right, now, this is where it begins. It must have been a similar golden morning when the loyal women went to Jesus' tomb, but they were not thinking, all right, now, this is where it begins. They were on the contrary thinking, this is where it all ends. All their hopes and dreams for a glorious future following and working with Jesus, now dead and buried, just like him. All their expectations for a change in the world, a change for the better, now sealed up in the tomb with Jesus. With heavy hearts, they trudged through the pre-dawn garden, carrying the fragrant spices they had purchased for the sad and sacred duty of anointing Jesus' body. They had cared for him in life, both monetarily and materially, so the least they could do was care for him in death. In about a year, after the flesh had dissolved from the bones, they would come and collect them and place them in a box called an ossuary and store them with those of his ancestors. The women must have been steeling themselves for the horrific condition they would find his body in. He had been flogged. He had been nailed to the cross. He had been stabbed in the side. It was going to be very hard to see him like that. They were so fixated on their loss and their bewilderment and worrying about what would they do next that they had to do a double take when they arrived at the tomb. They had been wondering how they would move away the stone from the opening of the tomb, even though it was on a track that was pushed, that helped it to be pushed aside when a new body was interred. It was still heavy and difficult to move. Maybe an attendant or a gardener would show up to help them. Dare they hope the 11 apostles would come to the garden and lend a hand? That was a good one. The men had fled while Jesus suffered on the cross, and even now were ensconced in safety behind closed doors. They wouldn't be venturing out, so nix that idea. As the women pondered and puzzled, they came to the tomb. And to their amazement, the stone they were fretting about had already been rolled away. Grave robbers. That must have been their first thought. Someone had come even earlier than they had and had the audacity to steal Jesus' body. Now, who would do such a sacrilegious thing? The women entered the tomb, more indignant than sorrowful now. How had this happened? What's the meaning of this? And then to add to the mystery, out of nowhere, two men appeared in the tomb with them. Their dazzling clothes blinded and baffled the women, making them fall to their faces in dread. They couldn't have been anything other than angels. They didn't use the standard angelic greeting, "Fear not." Yeah, we're big and glowing and spooky and winged, but fear not. Instead, the angels actually scolded the women. They knew exactly what they were doing, and they called them out on it. Why were they in this graveyard? Why were they looking for a dead body? Jesus wasn't dead. You'll never find him here, sealed in a dark, cold tomb, eternally immobile and in need of expensive spices to cover the stench of death's decay. He is not dead. He is alive. Remember? Remember? He told you all this was going to happen. He told you time and again, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed, arrested, tried, and crucified. I'm going to die. But in 3 days, I'm going to be resurrected by the power of God. Yes, all that horror would happen, but the story would not end there, not here in this cemetery. He told you he was going to rise again on the third day. Remember? Remember? It all came back to them. All the unfathomable words they had heard but never heeded, the words they had internalized but never realized were a promise that would come true dramatically. Before, when Jesus told them he would be resurrected, the idea was foreign and far-fetched and hard to imagine. But now, they darted out of the dark tomb back into the sunlight of a brand new day, carrying with them a new joy and a new hope and a new purpose. They ran right to the house where they knew the 11 disciples were, excited and eager to share the story of what had happened to them. They may have even started out by saying, "You're not going to believe this, but..." Now, you would think the guys would hear the women and jump right up and say, "Wow, this is great news. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. This is where it begins." You'd think they would remember, too, what Jesus had said and realize he had spoken the truth. You'd think they would be as glad as the women to know their hopes and dreams had not been shut up forever in a tomb. That's what you'd think. But no, insultingly, the men dismissed the women's claims. They poo-pooed the story, calling it an idle tale, accusing them, basically, of being delirious, out of their minds, hysterical. The men were being typical men of their day. The Torah said a woman's witness was unreliable and could be summarily dismissed. Men didn't have to listen to or believe women. This was not but a tale told by some idiot women, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. The men certainly weren't like the White Queen in Through the Looking Glass. She said, "Why, sometimes I've believed as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast." They may have even tried to mansplain the whole thing away. "Look, you girls are tired and worn out from crying all weekend. It was early and it was dark and you got lost. That's what happened. You went to the wrong tomb. There were no guys in dazzling clothes. That was just the sun in your eyes. You didn't actually see what you think you saw. And speaking of breakfast, why don't you just go make us some breakfast, like good little women? That'll make you feel better, and then you can forget all about this, okay?" But I imagine the women refused to back down, refused to cant their tale, fantastic as it may have sounded. "No," they said, "we know what we saw. We know what we didn't see, Jesus' body. We know what we heard, and now we know what Jesus meant. You can poo-poo us all you want, but we know what we know." As they continued to resist and insist, Peter decided he was going to the tomb to see for himself and show them how wrong they were. But the joke was on Peter. When he got to the tomb, he saw exactly what the women had described. Nobody and nobody. Just the linen cloths that had once covered Jesus' lifeless form. Peter left the tomb, not knowing what to believe, not knowing what to make of all of this, not knowing this is where it begins. So why, in the middle of August, would I choose the Easter story to preach on? Simple. We're Easter people. We proclaim Jesus Christ risen, ruling, and returning every day with every fiber of our being. Not just one Sunday a year. We believe. We can't explain it, and we're not supposed to, but we believe. We believe, and because of this belief, we can do marvelous things together with God. Because of the resurrection, because we are Easter people, we can believe and we can hope. We can pray for healing for El Paso and protection from hate and evil everywhere. We can pray for new challenges for First Christian Church Ruidoso. We can believe the impossible. For us, Easter is not just one day out of the year. For us, Easter, resurrection happens all the time, every day. That may be hard for some people to believe and wrap their heads around. And indeed, it is a rather fantastic tale. But for us, Easter is where it all begins. Life, hope, work, challenge, satisfaction. Everything changed on that bright sunny morning as the sun broke through the clouds and the Son of Man broke off the chains that bound him to the earthly plane. Easter changes everything. It changes us. It makes us believe in so, so much. What's the meaning of this? The impossible is possible. Resurrection is possible. Redemption is possible. Reconciliation is possible. Redirection is possible. Renewal is possible. Revival is possible. Reclamation is possible. Recreation is possible. This is where it begins. You may not believe it, but crazy stories may just be the good news all the world wants and needs to hear. Speaking of stories, a story I wrote some years ago called Running in Albuquerque won second place in a short story contest at the Carnegie Center for Literacy and Learning in Lexington. A dream, a story, and now here I am. I thought that dream was about the dawn of my racing life. Now I believe it was about the dawn of my praising life. Whenever I go back to my alma mater, Rockford College, now Rockford University in Rockford, Illinois, there's always someone there that I can go up to and say, "You're not going to believe this, but I'm a minister." Yeah. I never saw that coming. Just as the women never saw an empty tomb in their sights on the first Easter morning, but someone must have known something, because here I am, sharing with you God's dream for the world, that we come to believe in the power of God to bring light out of the depths of darkness, joy out of the grave of sorrow, belief out of the depths of distrust, sharing with you that this is where it begins, when we become part of God's dream and God's story. God's dream is revealed in Revelation 7, which we heard and which is my favorite Bible verse. This is God's dream, that all God's children come together to worship God as one, no longer hindered or bothered by superficial barriers of race or nationality or gender or any of the other myriad ways we have concocted to separate us one from another. In stark contrast to God's clear call to us to love one another, just as God has loved us. This idyllic scene is in Revelation, the last book of the Bible, but it is not the end of the story. It is the beginning of the life of praise. It began on a golden morning in a quiet garden with some puzzled women and some dazzling dudes. Where will it end? Quién sabe? Maybe it won't end. We are being invited to find ourselves in that garden, in that dream, in that story. So let's see what else we can believe together. Let's see what else we can dream up in conjunction with God. For with God, all things are possible. Let's believe that. Let's believe God has a plan to carry us forward in faith with strength and purpose and hope and joy and love. This is where it begins, with Jesus walking out of the tomb and walking right here among us. And we are now living, learning, loving, and serving with the risen, ruling, returning Christ. This is where it begins, and it never ends. Death does not have the last word, not since Jesus overcame it. Resurrection happens all the time. Don't believe me? Just watch. Let us pray. Try us, Lord. Test us, Lord. Show us, Lord. Help thou our unbelief. Come to us in unexpected ways and in unexpected places. Help us recover and rediscover hope, joy, faith. Help us proclaim here and now, ever and always, the great good news, to tell the old, old story. Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen indeed, and we believe. Hallelujah. Amen.